I love the idea of having Father Christmas as an Incredible Hulk figure with Saint Nick going, "Don't make me merry. You wouldn't like me when I'm merry." Ho, ho, ho. Now I have a machine gun. Merry Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of Worst Foot Forward. This is the podcast that celebrates the best of the worst, and I'm one half of your hosts, Ben Vandervelde. We hope that you're listening to this deep into Christmas Day and that you've had a warm and friendly one full of cheer, wine, song, family and friends. It's not quite been the same way here at Worst Foot Forward headquarters. We started our Christmas by elbowing other consumers out of the way on Oxford Circus and getting a black eye and a broken jaw for ourselves. We then returned home after midnight to find a floor full of sharpened Lego, the dog having eaten baubles and farting tinsel, and a suspicious-looking corpse on the roof. We then awaken to find that the turkey has already exploded into giblets in the oven, the Queen is doing her Christmas message in her normal lizard form, and then the day has been topped off by David Jason deciding that the perfect antidote to family drama is to reintroduce blackface. And with me, the infuriated Daily Mail letter to my wishes of Winterville greetings, it is Barry McStay.
Merry Christmas,
oh,
Ben.
Ho, ho, Merry Crimbletide.
I mean, I feel we are the embodiment of hope at Christmas time by releasing an episode of a whimsical podcast on Christmas Day.
I think that Christmas is a perfect time to do something that you wouldn't normally do the rest of the year, such as listen to this podcast.
Yeah, sit in a corner with your headphones in while the rest of the family pull crackers and play Trivial Pursuit.
Screw that. Gather everyone round, explain to Uncle Janine, Auntie Janine.
Uncle Janine,
it's 2017, mate.
Yeah.
Explain to Uncle Janine and Grandma and Great-Granddad what a podcast is.
And they'll listen to 5 minutes of this and go, you know what? I think I'm ready to die now.
Yeah.
I was happy enough with gramophone records.
Well, listen, if we manage to carry out a mercy killing on Christmas, surely that is the true meaning of what...
Why are we talking about killing our listeners? Save that for the Easter episode.
I mean, that feels like I don't know. Christmas has a dark side. Of course it's got a dark side. You look at Christmas Carol and...
Yeah, it's Die Hard.
Yes, it's actually called Die Hard.
Die Hard.
German film.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
It's a film that means the hard.
Yes. Anyway, listen, we're going to introduce our guest before we get too off-piste. Our guest this week is an actor and singer who has a decade-long career working in theatre, film, television and musicals. I first met him as a fellow performer at the Crystal Maze Live Experience here in London, but aside from a madcap maze master, he has also portrayed what might be called an eclectic array of characters in his time. Everyone from William Shakespeare to Robert Burns, Long John Silver to Ringo Starr, Robin Hood to Samuel Beckett, Cowardly Lions, a Mad Hatter, and Benny from ABBA. He also shares two-thirds of a name with the real identity of the Green Lantern, a gay man and media magnate with secret magical powers. But he isn't here in his guise as a fictional character with a global reach who dresses in silly clothes. He's also here as a Santa, a very real job he has performed for the likes of Harrods and this year at the Greenwich Wintertime Festival. So come join us on the lap and see what's in the sack of Alan Scott Douglas.
Hello, that is a wonderful introduction.
I just went on your CV.
I also like the fact that you've reminded me of characters I had no idea that I played. Some of those were about 15 years ago.
Benny from ABBA really sings out on that list.
Well, I played Benny from ABBA and then a few years later got to do Mamma Mia and meet him, which was kind of cool. So I sort of didn't mention the fact that I'd played him once.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I'm just going to skirt over that and you can tell me everything I'm doing wrong in your show.
He seems to be the perfect stepping stone to Santa, though, because, you know, bearded Scandinavian.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like that's probably what he's doing right now. now.
Yeah,
sort of, he's done Mamma Mia, he's done chess, he's having a bit of a break, he's just dressing up in a red suit and distributing presents.
Different cultures have different sort of versions of Santa, so maybe the Swedes, they hang out their, you know, flares on the mantelpiece
and they're
in
just,
the hope that
just,
Benny from ABBA will come and leave them
they don't have
some modular cords.
They don't have stockings, they have massive stiletto boots.
Yes,
And if you're a good boy, you get a Bang & Olufsen record player in there. And if you're a bad boy, you just get loads of Allen keys.
It feels like it could be the plot to the sequel of Mamma Mia. And I've not seen what they're doing. It's a Mamma Mia sequel, yeah.
It's coming soon.
What I'm most interested to know what songs they're putting in it, because they've used them all.
Yes, yeah, it's going to be all the B-sides.
It's just going to be it's going to be a two-hour Fernando. It's the only one they haven't done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. You know what it's going to be like fucking We Will Rock You. The love interest is going to walk in the third scene and he's going to be called fucking Fernando. Like, my name is Killer Queen. I'm the baddie. There's a character in this, you know, called Scaramouche. And
Scaramouche Fandango, I believe, is her full name, which is even more ridiculous.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, at least we've nailed World's Worst Musical in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, my
this.
God. We're going to bury some guitars in a mountainside because, you know, the government have banned rock music. That's the plot of that show. Do you know
the astonishing thing with that show is, like, Queen are so overblown, pompous and operatic, and that's what we love them for.
Yeah.
And yet somehow the musical managed to take that to several steps further and make it awful.
Yeah, yeah. Toucan for Freddie Mercury is an interesting stage to reach. We always ask all our guests, Al, what you are worse at in the world.
There's probably a number of things that different people would say. My girlfriend would probably say picking up after myself. But I'm going to have to go with skiing. Okay. There's probably people listening thinking
that's quite Christmassy.
I'm really bad at skiing, or I've never been skiing, so you can't possibly be worse than me. I've only ever done it once.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a tour playing Ringo Starr. I was on a tour of the Beatles musical around Italy.
Very good.
And our tour manager was a former Olympic speed skier. So we had a day off in Udine, which is up in the sort of northeastern corner. So he suggested we all go and do some skiing. None of us has ever done it before. So we went along. There's about 10 of us in the British cast that went along with this Olympic speed skier. We went onto the little baby hill to work on going and stopping.
Yeah, the two most important bits.
Usually the two bits that people get the quickest. Then you work on turns and all the other
Then
stuff.
You move on to rewind and fast forward.
So everyone else had a go at that, did it for about 10 minutes, went, I've got this, went up onto the hill. Not so much with me. I just sort of kept stopping and starting and falling over on this baby hill. And eventually I thought, no, I'm going to challenge myself. So I used the little tiny ski lift, went up to the top of this little baby hill and decided to see if I could go all the way down it just in a straight line and then stop. Going down it in a straight line was fine. Stopping, not so much. I ploughed through a maybe 5, maybe 6-year-old small child at the bottom of the hill. Now, we're in northern Italy, which is sort of, you know, on the border. There's a border with Austria, there's a border with Germany, so I wasn't entirely sure where this family were from, whose child I'd just wiped out. So I tried to apologise in Italian, I tried to apologise in English, and I thought, oh, maybe they're German, which I later discovered they were. So I thought, I'm going to apologise in German. So I said, Entschuldigungen, which I've since discovered is not the correct way to apologise in that situation. What I should have said is Entschuldigung, which is basically I'm sorry or it's my fault. I said Entschuldigungen, which essentially means pardon me, I'm coming through. So I just love the fact that there's probably a German family telling the tale of a large, obviously you can't tell listening, but I'm 6'4" and 17 stone. I'm quite a large chap.
Yeah.
So this German family telling the story of this massive runaway snow train that ploughed through their infant daughter and then stood up and went, excuse me, I'm coming through.
Yeah. I love the fact that was on a tour where you were playing Ringo as well.
You are the Ringo star of skiing. How did you get into Santa-ing?
Kind of by accident. I did bits and pieces of it years and years and years ago as sort of a favour to friends, because I was a large person, and that is essentially the main criteria for being a Santa. And then last year I just saw one of the big department stores in London was advertising for Santas.
Yeah.
So I went along and had a meeting with them in this entirely open atrium coffee area, and he said, well, let's pretend that I'm a 5-year-old child, he's a 3-year-old child, and let's do a pretend Santa meeting. One of the weirdest things I've ever done. People just walking past, staring at us, going, what are these people on and where do I get some?
Men in suits on your knee.
Yeah, it was really, really weird. And they committed to the whole I am 5 and he is 3 as well, including like going off on tangents, equivalent of like dug the dog in up, just going, squirrel. They were just like, oh, lights. What are you doing? Children don't do that. And I was fortunate enough that they asked me to come and do their season last year.
Lovely.
And it was a wonderfully eye-opening experience doing the Grotto thing. And then this year I'm doing something slightly different. So we're doing an actual Santa show this year. So people come along and watch us doing a show rather than just doing the come and sit on your knee and tell me what you like.
And of course, you're one of Santa's official sidekick Santas, because Santa himself has to sign off on these.
Yes, absolute disclaimer. I am not the real Santa Claus. I am merely one of his many assistants that he has around the world.
Yeah,
Santa's got to have a lot of body doubles because of the trouble of reprisals from freedom fighters from the Elf Liberation Front who like to try and take him out. So like Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi.
The Kurds, yes.
The Kurds as well,
I mean, the other side of that is no one has ever seen me and Santa Claus in the same room at the same time. The same logic, I guess, could be applied to Batman and Donald Trump. No one's ever seen me in the same room as them at the same time. a weird logic leap of now no one's seen Donald Trump and Santa in the same room. Imagine what the world would be like if Donald Trump was Santa.
Oh, God.
Who's on the nice list?
Donald.
Pedophiles and Nazis.
So we are going to try and determine, ladies and gentlemen, who is the world's worst Santa Claus. And Barry, you're going to go first.
Well, I thought there was no better place to start than with St. Nicholas himself. Thought someone should give a little bit of the potted history of St. Nicholas. The St. Nicholas, who the Santa story is now based on, is St. Nicholas of Myra, who was born in about 270 AD and lived to the 6th of December, 343. And he was born in Turkey, Patara in Turkey, on the Mediterranean coast, which is now a ruined city. Quite a good ruined city. Ben's making face at me already.
Is that why we have turkey on Christmas Day?
No, Ben, it's not.
Okay.
Don't be a fucking idiot.
Sorry. I had to ask.
You wouldn't have called a turkey back then.
We just have turkey because it got too hard to find geese.
Yes, the turkey is an American thing.
No, fair enough. No, just imagine if St. Nicholas had been born in Chad, then every year we'd have to find
someone called Chad.
Yeah, just find a jock and carve through his chinos.
In the US,
thank God he didn't come from Ramsbottom.
Yeah.
They do their turkey on Thanksgiving in the US.
They
have ham at Christmas. I've been over there a couple of times.
What bird do you do on Christmas? On Christmas?
We usually do duck.
You do duck?
Controversial.
Yeah, duck's good though. It's good fat duck for the roast potatoes as well. Yeah. We do turkey and ham.
You do turkey and ham. Well, being one of them, they're chosen people. I've not done Christmas very often in my life, but my wife's house, because her dad's half Italian, we tend to do a game bird like a guinea fowl or a goose or some shit like that, but there's always a plate of pasta, which is baffling. It's like, oh, it's 2 p.m. on Christmas Day, ravioli, why not?
So Nicholas was, when he died, his relics were stolen by pirates from Bari and the bones were taken back to Italy, and some of his smaller bones are now in Venice as well, so there's two sort of churches of Nicholas's relics are there. And every 6th of December, this liquid seeps out of his tomb called manna. And it's bottled, and so you can buy little vials of the stuff. It's sort of considered this like holy relic or this holy water stuff. It's suggested that possibly, you know, the porous nature of the foundations and the seaside location of these places means that there's water seeping up through the foundations into the tomb. But it's still every 6th of December this stuff is harvested from his tombs. His parents died when he was very young. Somebody did all these good deeds and became a bishop and was persecuted by the Emperor of Diocletian. In fact, they've done a sort of a reconstruction of his face, and he has a beard. I don't know if the beard is, you know, official from his skeleton, but they've stuck a beard on. But he has a broken nose as well, and some people said, oh, he must have been a boxer. Probably because he was, you know, a Christian being persecuted by Diocletian, he may have been punched in the face by some torturers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he wasn't, you know, averse to a bit of violence himself. At the Council of Nicaea in 325, which is this big church meeting where they were trying to decide the status of Christ, whether he was the Son of God but equal to God, or Son of God and inferior to God. There was this guy called Arius who basically said Christ is separate from and inferior to God. And St. Nicholas was of the opposite opinion and punched Arius in the face.
Thus starting the tradition of the Christmas feud.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Bring your family round, have a punch up.
Yeah, yeah. So Nicholas is the patron saint of many things, including children. He saved some murdered children. Resurrected some murdered children. Yes.
You kind of watch the wording of it because it sounded like he shaves and murders children.
Shaves and murders. Yes.
No, the first part is very simple.
Yeah. There was apparently a story about an evil butcher trapping kids and cooking them and skinning, slitting their throats and killing them. And St. Nicholas apparently saved some kids from him and resurrected some of his victims as well.
So St. Nicholas travelled through time to the 17th century where he lived in a Grimm's fairy tale, yeah. Rescued the children and brought them back to the age of Diocletian.
Yeah. That must be where Krampus comes from as well.
Yeah, we might come to Krampus in a bit. Yeah. some other things Nicholas is a patron saint of. Coopers. Sailors, fishermen, merchants, broadcasters, the falsely accused, repentant
Hang on. Broadcasters and the falsely accused.
Yes. Is he also a yew tree operative? Yeah. <It's their time. laughs>
Brewers, pharmacists, archers, Aberdeen, Galway, Liverpool, Moscow, the Greek Navy, and pawnbrokers.
What do all of these things have in common?
Well, the pawnbrokers one is the most interesting because St. Nicholas is often depicted holding three little golden balls, which is obviously the symbol of pawnbrokers.
It's also the symbol of Jasper Carrot.
Yes. There was a story of him saving three girls from prostitution by enabling them to afford dowries to get married so they wouldn't have to be, you know, spinsters who were having to make their own way in the world, because he would walk past their house and he threw three bags of gold into the house, and so the three some stories say three balls of gold, but certainly three bags of gold, and that's what the three little golden balls that he holds, that story comes from, that he thought, well, they won't be able to keep themselves if they don't have a wealthy husband, so
he helped move them up one ladder of the patriarchy.
Exactly.
Well done, St. Nick.
He obviously morphed into the Sinterklaas character. Very popular in the Benelux. Yes. Sinterklaas is a curious, slightly crumbling figure. He arrives largely in the Benelux area, say Belgium and the Netherlands. He'll arrive every year somewhere in mid-November on a boat from Spain with, you know, all his helpers. It's Svartepete. In blackface, yeah. It's a black painted faced little sort of sidekick, and there's lots of the photo of him arriving on the boat with hundreds of Svartepetes around him is a little distressing.
Yeah.
Who was originally a foolish servant, I think they've slightly made him a little bit more capable in recent days.
Doesn't really help because there's still some very thick lips and very flat noses on a lot of Svartepete dolls. Yeah.
Well, he had a redesign. They did a redesign where he's, you know, he's no longer this blackface thing. We're going to make it look like he's just a bit dirty. He's just a bit put upon.
They've done the whole coming down the chimney thing where it's just like bits of soot as opposed
to... people in the area had a vote and sort of railed against the dying of the night and went, no, we want our blackface back.
We want
Black Pete back.
Yeah, no, there have been some surveys in the Netherlands where over 90% of people don't perceive it as racist.
Yeah.
And you go, well... It's not really for you to say, white people of the Netherlands. It's because he comes... The balls of gold symbol has sort of morphed in time to three oranges in some cultures, and so they think that's why he comes from Spain to the Netherlands every year, because, you know, oranges from Seville. Spain was a Moorish conquest at one point, so the Svartepetes coming from Spain with them are then associated with the Moors. And people tell stories that if children were naughty, they'd be snatched and thrown into sacks and carried away by Svartepete, which is probably, you know, referring to the Barbary slave trade of the 16th to 18th century, and genuinely you would have Moors travelling up to the Netherlands and Northern Europe and snatching people and taking them away from the slavery. But, you know, it doesn't have great connotations in modern society. Krampus. Yeah, he's had a real rebirth in recent years. Have you seen the images of him? He's bloody terrifying. I'm sure some listeners may not know who he is. Krampus is this horned goat figure with cloven hooves. It's sort of like a very hairy devil figure. Like long dark hair and a long tongue and fangs and red eyes, and carries chains with him because there's this whole image of him being an unchained devil, and birch rods, which he'd whip naughty children with, and a basket and sack again for child abduction.
Yeah. The Krampus now actually works in one of the few remaining boarding schools in the United Kingdom. Teaching PE.
There's a lot of, you know, this person will whip your child if it's naughty figures. Yeah. There's Lupert Fuert Lap-Père-Fouettard, who's in northern France, southern Belgium. He's could be possibly based on that butcher then St. Nicholas rescued the kids from, because he's forced to follow St. Nicholas around as kind of like a sort of an inferior slave or servant, and again spanks naughty children. And he appeared in the 1930s in the USA as a cozy Lap-Père-Fouettard, French name, don't know what it means. They translated it as either Father Flog or Spanky. Who again would, you know, punish you, cut out your tongue if you were lying, or hit your hands if you stole and things like that. But you've got to go to Iceland for some real choice Santa figures. There's Jólakötturinn, the Christmas cat. He will eat you if you don't finish your work in time for Christmas, and he knows you don't finish your work, because if you do finish your work in time for Christmas, people tend to give you new clothes. So if you're not wearing new clothes at Christmas time, the Christmas cat will come and eat you, which is interesting. Consider that Iceland does the most overtime of any European country.
They're spending all of their time making new clothes.
Yeah.
So the Christmas cat doesn't eat them.
Iceland also has the Yule Lads. I'm sure, I think we've talked about the Yule Lads on the show before. Maybe, I can't remember if we did with John Henry or not. There are 13 sort of gnomes or dwarves who arrive in the days leading up to Christmas, in the 13 days, and they all have sort of, I'm not going to pronounce the Icelandic names, but I'm going to give you the translations and what they do. In order, they are Sheepcoat Clod, who harasses sheep, hampered by his stiff peg legs. Gully Gawk, who hides in gullies and steals cow's milk. Stubby, who steals pans to eat the crusts from, and he's quite short. Spoon Licker, guess what he does. Pot Licker, as above.
I'm pretty sure.
Bone Licker.
They're Aphex Twin albums, aren't they?
Yes. Bowl Licker, who apparently steals a bowl from under your bed. So if you've been eating in bed and left a bowl by, you want to, if you're a bowl licker, you want to make sure you don't pull out, you know, like a porta potty. I mean,
that seems like a danger, given the whole existence of bedpans, that
yes,
seems like a dangerous device.
Exactly. Door Slammer, again, a lot of these are say what you see, really, guys. Skyr Gobbler, who eats skyr, which is a Icelandic yogurt type thing. Sausage Swiper.
He's the pro. Sausage Swiper.
And Sausage Swiper, yeah, it comes straight
after
him.
It's like he's taking a turn.
Yeah. Well, he hides in rafters, so if he is going to swipe your sausage, he's got a long way to reach.
Yeah.
Window Peeper. Just looks through windows, guys. Just sees no peeping Tom. Doorway Sniffer. Sniffs at doorways in search of bread. Candle Stealer, who follows children to steal the candles they carry, because, you know, that's what children carry these days. And Meat Hook, who steals meat. And they're all apparently the children of their mother Gala, who's an ogress. She also has three husbands and 60 other children who all engage in crimes ranging from, you know, commoner garden mischief right up to full-blown murder. I found some great crimes involving Santas. In Norfolk in 2000, Great Yarmouth Santa Sales Inn event was interrupted when one Santa came by in a sleigh and there was lots of cheering children. And then soon after, another Santa in the crowd, who was apparently part of the event but not the same Santa on the sleigh, got into a fight with a teenager in the marketplace and was arrested in front of lots of crying children who saw Santa hauled away before their very eyes.
Beautiful.
Santa was taken to the police station, and police took some children, the most distressed children, to the station with them to demonstrate that he was a fake Santa and not the real Santa. And they released a statement saying Norfolk police are certain the real Santa would not approve of people behaving in this way, and of course he will continue his pre-Christmas visits and delivery of gifts everywhere on Christmas Day. Yeah, Santa uninterrupted. But my decision for the very worst Santa of all that I could find was in Mount Hagen in the Western Highlands region of Papua New Guinea in 2010. Two men robbed an office in this area of about $20,000. One was dressed as a Santa in the suit, and the other was carrying a box of presents. And they basically duped the security guards into saying, "Oh, we've arrived to deliver Christmas presents to everyone in the office. Can you let us in, please?" In November 2010, mark you. And the security guards waved them in, thinking that this is awesome, you know, secret Santa thing that had been organised. They walked into the office. None of the management of the office were like, "Well, I haven't organised this. Have you organised this?" No one questioned it. And the Santa and his helper gathered everyone into an office to give out the presents, promptly pulled out guns, locked them in the office, and stole $20,000 and walked back out again. This guy chose to dress up as Santa before stealing from people at gunpoint. So, yes, the Santa thieves of Mount Hagen, Papua New Guinea are my suggestion for the world worst Santa.
Similarly, I'm going to focus on sort of real human beings who put on the suit for various different purposes.
Good.
And
Billy Bob Thornton.
You watch that movie and you think there can't be Santas out there that are this bad. And then you speak to Santas and you speak to people who have experienced Santas and you go, actually, they were really just scratching the very, very top of what really goes on. There's a particular favourite of mine of a disgruntled former employer of a shopping mall in the US who decided to walk. He'd been fired for various different reasons, including being drunk and whatnot and slightly abusive towards his elves. And he decided to come into work and walk around outside where this grotto where they had a new Santa Claus, wearing his wig, wearing his beard. The only other thing he was wearing was his Santa hat. Not where you would traditionally wear one's Santa hat. He had it rather strategically positioned. And he just basically kept encircling this grotto, shouting out, "It's all a lie."
Amazing.
while wearing this strange sort of furry posing pouch and nothing else.
There was a guy in Ontario in 2012 who did a similar thing. He went to a Santa parade and he slicked his hair into devil horns and got drunk and just shouting at children, "Santa's not real," from really close up. I was arrested for causing a disturbance. Wow. Then charged with public intoxication. And then it turned out he was on parole, so they charged him with violating his parole as well to really, wow, really slap him down again.
There was another one which was, most of these come from the US. I've worked with quite a few FCs who've been from the US and have various stories to
FC,
tell.
Father Christmas.
That's the sort of nomenclature.
Interesting.
I love that inside track. Also, I will be referring to my football team now as Newcastle United Father Christmas. or the real one is absolutely Father Christmas Bournemouth.
But there was another one that I found hilarious, which was Santa, who was slightly, shall we say, on the autistic spectrum. Who, mm-hmm, generally speaking, he was lovely and he was very amenable, but he had some personal space issues. So he'd be fine with the children, and he'd have his sort of pre-prepared thing that he'd say in terms of, you know, "Have you been good this year? What would you like for Christmas?" The modern thing with FCs is Santas is you are not allowed to suggest that they come and sit on you anymore because of the climate that exists.
Yes, of course.
But if the parents insist, or if the child wants to and the parents are okay with it, that's fine. Unless you are this particular FC, who, whenever a child would go to sit on his lap, or whenever a parent would suggest the child sit on his lap, would basically just throw his hands up in the air and sort of repeat, "No, no, personal space, this is my personal space, please step back, personal space."
Wow.
Welcome to the magic of Christmas, children.
Wow.
And yet, I think, from what I understand, because of the nature of his autism and whatnot, he was sort of unfireable as well.
Yeah.
So this continued for the entire season of sort of these weirdly traumatized children going, "Why does Santa not want me to sit on his knee? What have I done? Why does Santa hate me?"
Just be glad he doesn't have Krampus with him and shut your mouth.
But in terms of Krampus has got no issues with personal space.
Yeah. But in terms of why does Santa hate me, he doesn't come close to the suggestion I'm going to give for the world's worst Santa. Which is an actual Santa that one of the FCs that I've worked with.
Oh.
And it's one of those, I mean, I assume the story has gained in traction and become slightly elaborated.
Snowballed, might you say? I'm just trying to keep it on brand.
No, that's what happens if a Santa gets banished from the League of Father Christmas.
He gets snowballed. Yes, mate.
So there's one
hang on,
particular.
Hang on, well, I'm running away from the table because that deserves jingle bells.
We just happened to have one on such an occasion.
For the listener, Barry used a really garish Christmas jumper with jingle bells on.
A Christmas dinosaur, no less.
Fucking hell. Oh, it says Tree Rex and it's lovely. For a moment, I thought you had a Christmas jumper with Pepe the Frog on.
We will post a picture afterwards, but
it features the most terrifying eye any dinosaur has ever sported.
It is from H&M's finest range of terrifying jumpers. But yes, snowballed. It's my favorite. I think that's my favorite joke. 50 odd episodes in, Ben.
Thanks, pal. Right, let's stop patting each other's backs and let Alan get on with his suggestion.
So this particular FC has become referred to as the bipolar bear.
Which I think is mate, get the fucking jingle bells out again.
It's a lovely way of referring to anyone, I think. He absolutely looked the part. He had his own beard, he had his own hair, he looked the part. He was just ready-made for Father Christmas.
Oh, right, it wasn't wig or anything
until,
at all.
No, it was all authentic.
Yeah.
Until he got into the room, and it would the bipolar bear comes because his meetings went one of two ways. He lasted about a week. He would either decide very quickly, this child is wonderful, this child deserves all of the magic of Christmas, and then some. Get to the part where he would ask them what they'd like for Christmas. And there's one very big rule with Father Christmasing, which is you don't promise anything. You've no idea what the parents' budget is. You've no idea what they've asked for before. You don't promise anything.
Yes, of course.
Unless you're him. So it would get to the, what would you like for Christmas? Oh, I'd like this toy. I'd like this games console. That's absolutely fine. I will make sure that is sorted for you on Christmas morning. I promise.
Oh.
But not content with that. What he would then do if he really, really liked the child, he then started just making suggestions. Well, I had another child came in yesterday and asked me for this wonderful Lego sculpture of such and such a thing. Do you not think something like that would be nice as well? Just watching the parents' faces in the corner just slowly descend into madness. And so, of course, the parents...
Mother's wearing some beautiful diamond earrings. Yeah. Why don't you get some for yourself?
What's that little Jimmy? You would like peace in the Middle East as well? I think Mummy and Daddy can sort that for you.
And that, so obviously the parents would continue it as best they could, and they'd get the child out, and then invariably would go immediately to the sort of customer service desk and say, are you aware of what your Father Christmas has just done? Your Father Christmas has just promised my child all of these things. Now, they were able to sort of pacify them with giving them some sort of store credit or voucher for something. Some of the parents just flat out said, no, your Father Christmas has promised my child these things, give them to me. And in order to avoid any sort of major sort of social media storm, this particular department store acquiesced on the understanding that the parents signed an NDA. So basically, we're giving you all these things, but please don't tell anyone that you've come here and Father Christmas has given you all of these ideas and we've just handed them.
It's really boiling Christmas down to its capitalist foundations.
Yeah. Absolutely, the basis of capital. But you would also... So there was obviously a little bit of word of mouth that was happening with this. They all signed the NDA. But you ended up with a situation by the end... He was only there for about a week. By the end of the week, where parents would come out... And he wasn't necessarily doing it anymore, but parents would still go to the desk and say, oh yeah, he said we could have that 60-inch flat screen that you've got over there, your bedroom set. By which point they had actually set up a system of monitoring what was happening in the room.
Imagining parents arriving with children's notes, like at school.
I would like a new Bentley.
Yeah. Please give my mummy this vacuum cleaner, signed Little Jimmy, age 6.
Yeah, there'll be parents like backing the Volvo into the grotto with the boot open.
Yeah.
All the presents in the bin.
For listeners out there, I would also like to suggest that fathers could be given vacuum cleaners as well.
Yeah, do you know what? I rolled my eyes at that, and then I was like, no, because I vacuum a lot.
Yeah, you really don't.
I do. It's one of the things I'm best at. not best. Okay.
Well, wow. Okay.
No, I'm
all
saying.
Like Mr. Trump.
No.
I do the best vacuuming. I suck better than anyone else.
Of the housekeeping skills which are on the Swiss Army knife of me, it's an awful sentence, vacuuming is amongst the better ones.
So can you get a...
God, you've turned me into Trump.
But can you get a stone out of a horse's hoof?
Well, with the all-new Dyson, only available for $199.99. From whatever Santa store Alan was at.
But the reason this guy has become known as the bipolar bear is, I say, the meetings could go one of two ways. Either he loved the child and he did all these things and promised them all these things, or he decided very quickly that this is not a very nice child. This is a child who needs to learn to respect their parents, needs to learn to respect. And so there's a big, obviously, one of the big things you don't do when you're doing the department store Santa thing is you don't ever say, Santa doesn't exist. Obviously, this chap, if he didn't like the child, or if he felt the child needed to learn a lesson, he went a little bit further. So he would become very stoic. He'd become very, very intense. So say, look, now, I need you to understand something. I'm not the real Father Christmas. Father Christmas doesn't exist. But God does.
Oh.
And God is always watching. Now, you've heard about the nice list and you've heard about the naughty list.
Oh, no.
Well, that doesn't exist. But God has his list for everyone who goes to heaven and everyone who goes to hell.
Oh, no.
And if you don't make sure you're behaving yourself and doing what Mummy and Daddy tell you, one day you're going to go to hell.
Oh, Jesus.
So how does this one person go from being, I'm just going to give you all of the things, to you're going to burn for all eternity?
You know what he needed? A Krampus. He shouldn't be doing that job himself.
This was an actual thing that was happening. So with the elves that were running this grotto, every time they were sending a family in, I wonder which side of the coin we're getting today.
You're right, he does need a Krampus, because Saint Nick and the Krampus are the ultimate good cop, bad cop combination. I would love to see a Lethal Weapon remake.
Buddy cop movie. Saint Nick and the Krampus.
Yes.
The Krampus as opposed to a Krampus.
Yes.
Is it a species of Krampus?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, is there Lady Krampuses and Man Krampa and Krampus? And Krampum if they're gender neutral?
Just like the idea of some foul thing befalling the Krampus and just, that was 2 days from retirement.
Little bit more Christmas lore to start with. Obviously the transformation of Saint Nick into Santa Claus from this early Christian sort of pagan figure into the big, jolly spirit of Christmas present is something to behold. And it is often through the prism of American capitalism. Mm. Dickens has a lot to answer for, yeah, because I think Christmas Carol was fairly definitive. There is the classic story of Santa's green robes being turned red by Coca-Cola, which, yeah, I believe is true. It's not at all. Oh, it's not?
A guy called Thomas Nast, who was a political cartoonist.
Yes. I was about to talk about Thomas Nast.
it was him, and basically, originally the robes were tan. Everyone, yeah, sort of says they were either black, yes, or green. Originally they were tan. And it was one of those decisions, a bit like the Hulk going from grey to green. It was one of those, this doesn't look that good. Let's change the colour so, yeah, it's a bit more striking.
Oh, I love the idea
made
of...
more widespread, I think, is the thing. That suddenly Coca-Cola... So the white
Coca-Cola latched upon it, and the rest is history. But yeah,
and there's the poem, The Night Before Christmas, as well. A lot of the stuff comes from that.
Right. I love the idea of having Father Christmas as an incredible Hulk figure with Saint Nick going, "Don't make me merry. You wouldn't like me when I'm merry."
You can have those Finnish, where they finish those band of 13 elves.
The Icelandic.
You just have them as the sort of Sinister Six opposite this Santa Hulk. Yeah. It'd be great.
Right, get on the phone to Stanley. We're making this shit happen. The thing that I read about with Thomas Nast that I didn't really like was he immortalised him in an illustration during the Civil War with Santa dressed in an American flag.
Yes.
Like
Sarah Palin, that mock photo of Sarah Palin in the bikini. And with the gun.
I immediately thought of, I don't know who it was, but an American Muslim who had a Stars and Stripes niqab, just to really wind up Republicans. There was also, because there's so many different incarnations of Santa, a story that was put out by an American news organisation right at the start of Ronald Reagan's presidency that ran a story from a company called the PETCO, an organisation called the PETCO, the Professional Elves Toy Making and Craft Organisation, who were basically a trade union for elves, who were demanding higher wages, a hot tub in the locker room and short broads, with the elves then threatened to go on strike. President Reagan would then step in, fired all of Santa's helpers and replaced them with out-of-work air traffic controllers, which was a little reference to the air traffic controller strike of 1981. Uh-huh. That then resulted in a riot before Santa vindictively rehired all of the elves in humiliating new positions such as his reindeer. So this is the ultimate neoliberal, modern-day mercantile fiefdom-owning Santa who actually got his employees and lashed them up for the physical labour of being his reindeer.
Do they do good parental leave? What are the employment conditions of the elves? That's what I want to know. Do they get dental?
Yeah, elves have got to have shiny teeth.
A lot of candy.
Yeah, the medical aid definitely covers pointy ears.
Yeah,
and everything to do with that.
If you've got rounded ears, you can get surgery to point them.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
Making sure every elf has properly turned up toes as well.
Yes, yeah.
It's so difficult
to
fit into those shoes
it's
otherwise.
Sad though. It's like the Chinese foot binding thing.
Oh, Christ.
Is it Chinese or Japanese? I forget.
It's Chinese.
Chinese foot binding. Yes, they have to stick elves in those little snap rulers. Wrap them around a baby elf's foot.
But that's how an elf stays upright on the sheet ice. Because if you've got a flat foot, then you're just going to slide away. But they can use the turned toes as a brake,
like the top of a ski.
Yeah, or a skate. Obviously, Alan's got no idea what I'm talking about now. Young elves ploughing through German toddlers. Going, pardon me,
coming through. Sorry.
A few other Eastern European derivations. The sort of the Orthodox Church version of Santa is a character called Dead Moroz.
Ooh.
And yeah, sounds well creepy, doesn't he? Dead Moroz predates Christianity. He's a Slavic wizard of winter. And in some books, he's the son of the Slavic pagan gods Veles and Mara.
Slavic Wizard of Winter is a great title, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that is Slaven Bilic's burlesque name.
He's got plenty of time to perfect it.
Yes, he does! Demeroz had, rather than elves, he had his daughter would be his compatriot and would help giving out presents and such. Like, obviously, had quite a few troubles coming up against the Russian Revolution. By the time Stalin turned up, Demeroz was declared an ally of the priest and the kulak, and a symbol of capitalist decadence, obviously. And there's loads of different examples of how this happened time and again. My favourite one is in Romania, where Dead Moroz was given a new name of Moz Crăciun. And Moz Crăciun, there's a picture of him from a national newspaper in the 40s as a young, athletic, proletarian, bare-chested man wearing red clothes. And he basically looks like a hot communist pinup, which is everything that I don't want from Santa Claus. He's clean-shaven, he's young, he's hot, and he looks like he can actually do manual labour rather than one night out of 365. One other character that I wanted to mention, you did a lot of good work about the Icelandic people, but in Finland there is another tradition, and that tradition is the
tradition. too much Christmas brandy for you.
Too much eggnog. A tradition of the Yulupukki.
Is that the goat?
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
So Yulupukki, he's connected to Woden in Norse mythology. He's said to wear tight red leather pants.
A goat in tight leather pants.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
I think I've got a new fetish.
Yeah. I sort of think it's just basically the Krampus's missus is just out on the town.
Yeah.
Just dressing up out in the town.
I've seen a fair few lasses like that in the big market on Christmas evenings. Yeah. Like, visually, tight red leather pants. No, I want my Santa in a nice, big, baggy uniform. I don't want any sense of bodily definition from Santa whatsoever. And a tight fur-trimmed red leather coat, so it does sort of sound like a goatee stripper, doesn't it?
Mm. Something fetishist, it's wonderful.
Yeah. Basically, whereas the Krampus is sort of the anti-Santa, the Yulupukki mixes the two of them. He's goat Santa. And goat Santa still...
Goat Santa...
What else am I going to call him?
I'm just thinking of that 90s kids program Ghostwriter now. Goat Santa! Which, for the three listeners who know what that reference is, you're welcome, and I'm giving myself a jingle bell.
Oh, God, don't self-jingle on a Christmas episode. So, yeah.
Hey, I stopped myself saying Goat Santa, you got to be kidding me, Ben. So, so just be thankful for Ghostwriter, all right?
All right, I am. Goat Santa still has reindeers. However, these reindeers can't fly. I reckon they
can't. A goat owns reindeer.
Yes, a goat owns reindeers.
And then the reindeer owns something, so that moose. And then the moose owns a bear. The bear is owned by a blue whale.
No, and the bear goes, either you're very, very good or you're very, very bad.
The top of this chain is just it's just the dinosaur on your job.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's tree rex.
Come while I jingle at you.
I can't get over this. A goat is being pulled by reindeer.
Yes.
Non-flying reindeer. It's like a car being pulled by a bus.
Yeah, it is.
Why are you travelling in the car when the bus can move?
No, but the goat is not a flying goat.
Yeah, but he's a four-legged creature. It's like a four-legged creature and he's another four-legged creature to transport it.
You've seen pictures of those hippopotamuses with tiny birds on their back, or remora fish who latch onto whales to hang around. And frankly, I want to see a Christmas remora fish. That's all I want. Just with like a circle of angry razor-sharp teeth clamping onto the underside of Santa Claus, and when the children go to the grotto and go, "Can I have my presents?" and Santa lifts up his shirt and there's 10 red and white remora fish waving their little jingly tails at Timmy, slapping him in the face going, "You've been a bad boy. What do I get for Christmas? You get remora caviar, Timmy." So maybe the yellow pookie,
a goat gets pulled by reindeer. Are you trolling me?
No, the trolls are a very different tradition. Would you be happier if it was reindeers pulled by goats?
Yes, I think I would, actually.
Okay.
Can you write to the Finns?
I will do. Dear Kimi Räikkönen, I know you're very busy at the moment with
warm weather. The one Finnish person that you can remember. Dear Sami Hyypiä.
Yeah. Now, if it was a goat that was pulled by the famous Finnish sportsman, Jari Litmanen, as well.
Yeah.
I imagine there's a Polish pole vaulter or something who'll be good at that sort of shit.
What's the Finnish? Oh, never mind. This will be cut out as I try and remember the name of that Finnish pole vaulter.
Really?
Yes.
You've got a Finnish pole vaulter
somewhere
hanging around your brain.
Jussi Jaskalainen.
Yeah, that's a goalkeeper.
Pole vaulter, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll think of it in a minute.
Okay, by the way, you know for a fact that all. Like, have you seen any.
Mikko Ilonen, the golfer.
Right, this needs to stop now.
just name Finnish people. Yeah. Any Finnish.
Yeah, basically, the conclusion is Finnish people are shit at being Santa.
Is it Paavo Nurmi? Is that who I'm thinking of? I think it's Paavo Nurmi. Long distance runner. Not yet, he's the flying Finn.
Well, there you go. Perfect, the flying Finn.
Yeah. So he doesn't need any reindeer pulling his goat if he was a flying Finn. Paavo Nurmi should be the new Finnish Santa. That's what we've decided.
Okay.
That's been the outcome of that debate.
Yeah,
that's pretty much.
That's the conclusion we've all reached.
Yeah. the dead Finnish long distance runner, Paavo Nurmi.
So
he's not dead. He
dig
moved,
him up.
He just moved to the North Pole.
Yeah. Is that what you say? Is that what your parents said to you when your pets died?
We didn't do the whole "he's moved to a farm in the country."
He moved to the North Pole.
He's with Santa now.
When pet reindeer die.
I wonder if that's perhaps psychologically why I've ended up following this particular trajectory, just donning the red suit in the hope that I'll see all of my dead pets again.
Oh, what's a sad origin story that is. I lost that film though. It's like the Way Home, is that the one with the pets travelling over land and sea to reach a farm full of zombie pets?
It's the true meaning of Christmas.
Anyway, what's this goat do with these reindeers? What was it doing 20 minutes ago?
I mean, essentially, it just does Santa's job whilst being a goat. It's a goat in leather trousers and a leather furry trench coat.
You say that like that's normal.
It's folklore. What do you want from me?
I'm desperately trying to work out how his ho 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 would sound. It sounds like an early 90s telephone.
It sounds like the love egg inside Santa has gone off as he tries to sue it. I'll level with you, lads.
You didn't think that was going to be the most interesting thing you'd say today?
No. And I was going to tell you about another Santa Claus who dressed as Santa, held up a local KFC and actually climbed through the window of the drive-thru to get his stuff. But fuck that. But I think, absolutely, given go with the reaction of the crowd, my choice for the world's worst Santa is Pavel Thingy Thing.
Pavel Nurmi, the flying thing.
No, it's not, no. We established
he's the best. There's no alternative.
Yeah. The only Santa to win an Olympic medal.
Okay then, gentlemen. The world's with Santa. Strong contenders all round.
Our three choices are Barry's from Papua New Guinea, two rather successful robbers who turned up in disguise as Santa and ran away with $20,000. Alan's wonderful suggestion of the bipolar bear, strong branding. Or my suggestion of the Finnish folkloric hero, Yulupuki, the goat that is pulled by Yolo reindeer.
Did you say Yolo Puki? You only live once, Puki.
Yeah. That's what he says to kids.
Then he says, yippee-ki-yay. Motherfuckers.
This is a really tough one. Because obviously, spoiler alert, Santa doesn't exist. Shut up, Ben!
We're cutting that out.
Because, spoiler alert, Santa exists.
We leave both of those in, and the audience at home can cover their children's ears as applicable.
Basically, because we're dealing with a Schrodinger Santa who both exists and does not exist at the same time.
Within all of us.
He's locked in a box filled with a small amount of radium.
Yeah, and then trying to get the kid inside there as well and get them out of there without getting radiation poisoning. What did you get for Christmas, little Timmy? I got radiation poisoning.
Yeah, I got iodine tablets. I was a good boy.
Sounds like what the bipolar bear would do. You get some iodine tablets, you don't. You just get radiation.
Right, let's see if we can get through this. I love your suggestion, Barry. And the thing that annoys me most about them as bad Santas is that they decided to do this Christmas hold-up in November.
Yeah, that's the best November. Bit of that.
That is the Yuletide cherry on top of the brown sticky Yule log.
Yeah.
However, they only dressed as Santa. They weren't being Santa.
This is
they
true.
Were not. So because of that, despite it being a noble suggestion, I'm going to discount
you
them.
You're saying that they're discounted because they're not the real Santa.
Sure. That is why. They're fine. Not the real Santa.
Yeah.
Nor were they acting in any way in a Santastic way.
Santastic.
That is the name of the WhatsApp group for me and my elves. It's an actual true story.
I'm going to give you half a jingle for that.
Thanks. I have used Russian hackers to infiltrate the Santastic group to make sure that little Vladimir in Moscow gets the Christmas presents that he wants.
Santastic
America.
Four.
Yeah, America.
Christmas thing.
I am so torn between yours and mine, Alan, because the bipolar bear is like the platonic ideal of a bad supermarket Santa. Yeah. Of just doing everything wrong on both sides.
You can see it as a Saturday Night Live sketch.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish it was fictional.
Yeah. He's so good. He's so good. And yet... The astonishing...
Come on, Pavo Nurmi. Run through that fishing tape.
The astonishing shitness of replacing a human Santa with a goat Santa in tight clothes.
And straight out of Studio 54.
Yeah. And these poor, like, Rudolph and Prancer and Dancer looking around us going, what's making us go? It appears to be a smaller shitter version of us. Because it's so disturbing, this idea of, you know, the medieval image of Satan turned into Santa. And because it's right at the heart of where I think Yuletide Christmas cheer should be, I think I am going to go for my own Yulupuki.
Yeah,
yep, I'm with you.
So, sweet dreams, listeners, as you imagine this rewrite of the Billy Goat's very gruff. Before we go, it is time for the world's worst news. And it's time to announce the entries and the nominees for the 2017 Turnip Prize.
Yes.
Not the Turner Prize, the Turnip Prize.
I've been waiting for this all year.
Yeah. Some of you might know about the Ig Nobel Awards, which are basically the anti-Nobel Prize, where people who have failed to contribute to humanity. Well, the Turnip Prize, a very much spoof entrance in comparison to the Art Prize, the Turner Prize. Some of these include Pornhub, which is a chess porn taped to a BT Home Hub. Fake Nudes, a naked Barbie and Ken doll.
Also the name of the Bare Naked Ladies' new album.
Really?
A Canadian sort of dad rock band.
Oh, we know who
my favourite band in the entire world have just released an album called Fake Nudes.
And that is also part of the Turnip Prize. Or Pant and Deck, a pair of pants with a deck of top drumps on top of them. There is also Mini Driver by Tiger Wood, spelt W-O-U-L-D, which is a small golf club. Finally, pulled pork by Chris P. Bacon, which is a pig being pulled by a tractor.
Being pulled by a goat, being pulled by some reindeer.
Being pulled by a Christmas dinosaur.
Yay! So, before we go...
Can we get a vote? I think we're part of the Academy, aren't we, here at Worst
of Forest? Oh, yeah, we absolutely are. So who should we go for?
I quite liked... what was the very first one?
It was Pornhub.
I'm a big fan of Pornhub.
Yes.
As puns go, that's very pleasing.
Yeah, I enjoy that a lot. I'll agree with you on that one. Okay. The chess pawn tape to a BT Home Hub.
Well, and therefore, Worst of Forest cast its vote in favour of the delegates from Pornhub.
Beautifully done. That was in full Eurovision voice.
Yes.
Alan, where can people find you and what can they find you doing there?
Right now, they can find me at the Greenwich Wintertime Festival at the old, the old Royal Naval College. The festival ends on the 31st. The festival runs right through. Cool. The Father Christmas experience part of it ends on the 24th, because after that, Father Christmas is very, very busy.
Well, if you're listening to this on Christmas Day, which is when this will be going out, you can still go down and catch the dregs of that.
You can still go down. It's a live music festival. There's a fantastic ice rink with live ice performers doing all this fancy ice dancing stuff.
Everyone knows the leftovers are always the best anyway.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have you got anything coming up in the new year? Alan and I are with the same acting agent.
We are indeed. I have.
Hi, Linda. Hi, Emma.
This year, I've done a couple of times. I did a musical about brand new musical about Alan Turing, which is absolutely fascinating.
Oh wow!
And that is, we believe, going out again in
it's
spring.
Going touring.
It's a touring.
Stop it! Stop it!
We've made all of those jokes. So that is going. We believe that's going out again in the spring, though nothing's fully confirmed yet.
Cool. Well, fingers crossed.
Smashing stuff. Right. Well, we're all off to Hampstead petting zoo to try and force some scarlet stilettos onto a billy goat gruff. Until next time,
Merry Christmas!
Behold the Yulupookie!
YOLO, Yulupookie! my favourite thing we've ever... After we recorded that, I was talking to my husband and he said, what did you talk about today? I said, my only abiding memory is of a goat in red hot pants.
I think we've all had nights in Soho like that. Yeah. I feel like the Yolopookie and the Oozlefinch should be going on adventures together.
Happy Christmas. If you've gotten... Sweet Jesus, if you've gotten this far into listening to the podcast on your Christmas day, then you must have awful family. But also, glad we can, you know... help you escape from the void for an hour or so.
That is something. If you're going like, my family is so bad that I'm going off to listen to the worst things in the world.
Yes, Santa. Yeah, Dad, you're not the world's worst Santa. There are worse than you.
Yeah, there are Santas that actually exist, unlike you, Dad.
Oh, it's gotten sad. Ben's put the sherry away. Yeah. Just sitting with a massive bowl of trifle and a ladle.
I'm putting the sherry away. Just not in its cabinet. In its flesh cabinet.
Oh God.
If you've enjoyed this ridiculous podcast, a couple of things. Firstly, if you are listening to this on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, take a selfie of yourself listening to Worst Foot Forward and send it to us, because we want to see what you look like generally, but also specifically listening to this. And it'll be intriguing to know who listens to this guff at the end too.
Let's see your podcast listening faces. We always ask you to subscribe to us on Twitter at Worst Foot, Facebook, just look up Worst Foot Forward, or drop us an email, worstfootforwardpodcast@gmail.com. But as you're probably spending the time with lots of slightly tipsy relatives who might leave their phones lying around, why not subscribe them to us as well?
And then also get them to leave us a review with 5 gold stars!
And 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree. We've got a massive game bird fetish that we need to fill up. What is that song about? That poor... Imagine me in this. You know how small my flat is. If someone just said, here, I'm going to give you 12 drummers drumming, 11 pipers piping, 10 lords leaping, 9 ladies dancing. Where am I going to keep them all?
Mate, it's a little parade, isn't it?
Oh, so it's in one door and out the other?
Yeah.
So you're re-gifting them.
Yeah, it's like
imagine
a bit...
re-gifting the Seven Swans of Swimming.
Well, no, all you do to do that is that you just cover the door frame in wrapping paper, and as they walk through the door, they re-gift
they
themselves.
They wrap themselves.
Yes. Sweet. What's coming up in 2018,
Oh my
Harry?
God, our first podcast of the new year. Yes, Happy New Year to you. Izzy Lawrence, first on our list in the year 2018, the excellent comedian and podcaster, host of Z-List Deadlist, a podcast all about forgotten figures from history. And Izzy joined us to cast her critical eye on the world's worst poet, which a year on is finally getting a look in. As I mentioned, I think on the podcast, it's a subject we long coveted to cover, but mm-hmm. we hadn't had anyone wanting to do it yet until Izzy came along. It's quite a learned podcast. There's a lot of quotation in it.
Yeah, there is, actually.
I think we're all showing off our GCSE English.
Some of us are showing off more than others, because I think I peek out at a Spike Milligan limerick about gorilla buggery.
That's true. All that and more. Put forward. Same as every week, really.